Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, September 22nd, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Hey, happy Monday to you.
I guess it was not probably quite as happy as my Saturday and Sunday, but it's okay. I guess I'm having a good time. As Mondays go, this is a happy Monday.
Hey, today's the last day of summer. I guess the turnover, the turning over to fall is tonight about 10:30, 10:28, 10:29. Fall is here. It's a little chilly.
It may be up there in Pennsylvania, but it's not here down in Texas. Fall won't be here for another month or 6 weeks probably. You people are going to have freezing weather and probably 6 inches of snow before we get to fall.
Maybe. However, it was chilly for gold today, but, you know, the temperatures are supposed to warm up. We'll have to see if gold warms up here this week. We're supposed to have beautiful, warmer temperatures in central PA. We'll see what gold does. But for today, the chilly number, down $1.20. It struggled all day. It did try to get up there. We had a high of 12.21, but we're looking at 12.16 now. Silver's down 0.02 at 17.87. Platinum was down 11 at 13.32. And palladium was down 11 also at 8.04. Big buyers were in today and silver today. I'll have to take a look at the U.S. Mint page and see. And what was surprising is the numbers did take off last week on the purchases of gold and silver. So a lot of folks are taking advantage of these lower prices. The USDX today is down 0.11 at 84.68. And crude oil down 89 at 91.46. It's getting gasoline this weekend, Al. And it's like, gasoline is really down about 40, 45 cents, but crude oil is down about 14. So how does that work? You know, when it goes up, you have
new
gasoline.
Math.
That's that new math.
That's what it comes down to. It doesn't matter what the. Just so long as you feel good about yourself after you get done adding and subtracting the numbers. And I'm sure the people that are selling the gasoline are feeling a sense of self-esteem now.
Feel good. Go out and buy something.
What else is there?
Go out and buy. Yeah. Yep. Shop till you drop.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dow.
You're going to drop. And there's a lot of people out here who have shopped and shopped and shopped, and they'll see. They thought the till you drop thing was just kind of a joke. You'll see.
Well,
wait around.
Well, the Dow did drop a little bit today, down a triple digits at 107 at 17,172. The NASDAQ was down 52 at 45.27, along with the S&P down 16 at 19.94. And the 10-year yield, 0.02 to the downside, 2.57%. And it was sort of a quiet day. And the markets today, other than the 100-point drop, gold was struggling and so forth. But 1 in 5 unemployed or laid-off workers, we don't want to call them unemployed. We want to call them laid off. It's a kinder, gentler way. It just doesn't sound as bad, does it, Al? Laid off, unemployed.
We'll have to think of a better term for that. I'm not sure. We should call Obama and see what word we should be using. What's the politically correct term for people who suddenly don't have a job anymore?
But more than 20% of workers laid off in the last 5 years have not found new jobs. That was according to Rutgers University. That's about the same proportion of people who said that they have been laid off in that time, and it illustrates how difficult the recovery has been for the unemployed. Now, here comes some percentages. Among laid-off Americans who say they found a new job, 46% of them said that it came with a pay cut. 44% reported a drop in status. And, of course, you would expect that. The survey also found increasing pessimism among the unemployed. 36% said the economy will never fully recover from the recession, up from 29% last January. So,
the future will never fully recover,
but it won't.
Not because of the recession per se. It's because the government shipped jobs and industries overseas over the course of the last 15 years or more, and then it refuses to protect our borders from an invasion by illegal aliens. We're here to take jobs at lower price, at lower wage scales, and inevitably, it just means you got a problem, folks, and it's going to persist until you compel your government to do what's right for the American people rather than the New World Order and or special interests.
I think they should change that to not the economy will never fully recover, but the consumer will never fully recover because of, they cannot find these jobs that were outsourced. They will never be able to, and they were so deep in debt, they still carry a lot of that debt, and they use that debt to survive. You know, they get their needs, they use their credit cards, and, you know, they are accustomed to buying whatever they want, when they want, with their credit cards, and they like new cars and so forth, and they don't mind paying more for it. So the consumer will never fully recover from the recession, and they see it's becoming more and more dire. 40% said that the availability of good jobs for those who want to work will never return to the pre-recession levels, and that's up from 34%. So you had a big 6% jump there in just a little over 2 quarters. 1 in 3 unemployed respondents says they're looking for a job for more than 7 months, and they define the long-term unemployed as someone who's been looking for a job for more than 6 months. So, I'm going to
probably amp that up. Long-term unemployed, at some point in the foreseeable future, it'll be someone who's been looking for a job for more than 6 years.
But what's this? It's interesting. Now, they did a demographic picture of the unemployed, and I found this interesting. The typical out-of-work person is likely to be a southern white male between 18 and 29 with a high school degree who makes less than $30,000. A typical long-term unemployed person is also likely a white male with a high school degree from the South who makes less than $30,000. But the long-term unemployed tends to be older, normally between 45 and 59. So that's no big surprise. It was just the younger one that I thought was a little interesting.
Well, it's ones I know about. You know, I mean, the government has been... When we start calculating who is unemployed, I'll bet, and I don't know it to be true, but I'll bet it starts out with a figure of how many people were employed to begin with. And they count unemployed as people who were employed. I wonder if they even count the people who were unemployed. If you catch my drift, there are people in this country who haven't been working in 10 years. They're not looking for a job.
Well, this was just in a little survey.
They get by in the underground economy or whatever, selling drugs or whatever they have to do. On welfare, I don't know where to put them, but do you count them as unemployed? Does the government count them as unemployed?
Of course not.
No, no.
Well, we wouldn't have 6% unemployment if we did. That's what's lowering the percentage of the unemployment is because they're taking those people off that can't find jobs.
I understand.
That's the only thing that's lowering them. It's not people actually getting jobs. It's like, hey, these are people that are useless. We don't need to count them anymore. You know, they can't work. They can't give us any of the numbers that we want. So just take them off the books. Just take them off the books and forget about them.
Well, there's going to be a moment, you know, no one knows when that moment's going
to
be.
When they don't want to be forgotten.
I know. They're going to remind you in no uncertain terms they're around. And they're hungry. All right? We'll see how this goes. There are a lot of people pretty much pleased with government welfare systems. And I think it's a pretty good deal. And in some instances, they're right. I think I've seen articles, and I don't remember the numbers clearly, but there are people that are picking up $30,000-$40,000 a year if they subscribe to all of the welfare benefits that are available. Stay home, don't have to get up in the morning, collect $30,000 or $40,000 a year. There's a lot of people that sit back and they're going to look at that and say, "Is this a great country or what?" Yeah. They're going to be in for a surprise, though, because it can't be sustained. It may be that it can be sustained for another couple of years. I don't know how long they can hold it together, but it cannot be sustained indefinitely. Sooner or later, somebody's actually got to do some work in this country, and they've got to work enough to support themselves and whoever their dependents are. They can't just continually stay on the dole. You know, you don't work, you don't eat. Sooner or later, that's going to become a reality.
But the big problem is those that are working. There was also a report out that came out today out of CNN Money, Gen Xers. They were the ones that are born between 1965 and 1980. And the typical Gen Xer has only $29,000 in wealth compared to the $65,000 that their parents had socked away at the same age.
Yeah.
This is out from the Pew Financial Security Mobility Project. So,
not only that, consider the value of the dollar in their parents' time and the value of the dollar today.
Yeah. And it's all comes
back.
They're
impoverished. Yeah. That's what's happening here. We, the American people, are substantially impoverished. And we are able to maintain a certain amount of illusions where people don't exactly appreciate this yet. And even if an individual is living in or near poverty, I think most of them suppose that the economy is still strong. They're saying, well, I'm not doing very well right now, but the rest of them are doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a moment where you're going to find out, no, it's not just you. Right? There's a lot of people who aren't doing well and are going to do even worse. If something dramatic doesn't happen, and what can happen? What can change? Elect a new president? Impeach Obama and put Joe Biden in? What can be done to change the situation? We are caught. I mean, between the rock, the hard place, and so on, we're in that tight position right now. And most people don't exactly understand it. They sense it to some degree, but I don't think they appreciate the seriousness of the situation. And because it's not immediately breathing down our necks right now. We're in a situation where people are having a little stress, but it's no big deal. Well, watch and see. We'll watch and see. I could be wrong. It may be that we can stumble through this, but I cannot understand how. I don't see it. I'm not able to understand that. Maybe it happens, but I cannot see that coming. Instead, in fact, I was watching some video earlier today where a report, I didn't see the whole video, a report came out by the government. 16 intelligence agencies allegedly participated in this report, and they concluded that the United States is headed for a 25-year-long economic depression. and they are trying to predict what's going to happen and how to get ready for it and what to do about it and one thing and another like that. And this alleges, these agencies allegedly include CIA and FBI and Army intelligence, Navy intelligence, and all of them agree there's a problem here. And we're on the verge of it. And the people that are down there to, that are just getting by right now, that are happy to live on welfare, and they don't think they need a job, and they're, I mean, there's going to be a moment here where all they're going to be screaming, I don't think that welfare is going to be provided indefinitely. It may be that they'll still get their check. Let's say a year from now, 2 years from now. But there's a high probability that the check will not be worth as much thanks to inflation. You've got a check, maybe you're getting $1,000 from the government every month. All right, you'll still get the check for $1,000, but perhaps it'll only buy $500 worth of goods and services as compared to what it'll buy now. There's going to be, I mean, this is, it's one of those things, the thing that frustrates me about this is I see this with what appears to me to be clarity. I think I'm seeing this correctly, but we always do. We always think, oh, yeah, I got this under control. I might be wrong. But it is difficult to communicate the seriousness of the situation to people. They just don't seem to get it. They don't seem to care. They seem to think somehow they'll muddle through, and there's a good chance that's probably true. They will muddle through somehow. You know, just like the people in the Soviet, former Soviet Union, they muddled through after it collapsed. It was a bad decade. They had warlords and organized crime, and you had a job, and you might not get paid for months on end. All right? That they got through. Most of them survived. They got through. It'll be like, you know, the Great Depression. People had a difficult time, but most of us lived through it. And it'll probably be the same thing if we get into a greater depression in this country. Most of us will live through it. But it's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be difficult, blah, blah, blah. And hard to communicate.
This generation of Xers here in the tract, it will be the first in relatively recent history to fall behind previous mm-hmm. generations in terms of wealth accumulation.
Oh, I was just going to say that's the end of the American dream. The American dream has been since the beginning of this country.
They have
each generation would live better than the previous.
They have nearly six times the debt levels of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an incredible amount. Of course, we all know it's a lot of it is college, and a lot of it they lost in the they lost 45% of their savings between 2007 and 2010, so they're less prepared for retirement, and they only have enough to replace about half of their pre-retirement income. So even with a great stock market, and everybody's talking about how great the stock market is, these Gen X's have not replaced their what they lost from 2007 to 2010. And,
well, it's a dangerous mindset to focus on your retirement. I don't know that any of us are going to get to retire. I know that, you know, I'm exaggerating. Some people will be able to retire. I know that. But a lot of people who think they're going to be able to retire are going to find out that they need a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're thinking, oh, what am I going to do in my retirement? Maybe you're not going to retire, and you need to factor that into your mindset and how you anticipate the future. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future, The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to have a few things to say. I had several calls today regarding the Graham bars that are being sold. They're from Germany. I don't know, Stuttgart, Germany. It's supposed to be some sort of a multi-level marketing thing. But it's not a Ponzi scheme. Don't get, you know, that's what they say. It's you can pay your fees and you can become a, you can sell it and so forth. And it's like, you know, Al, I know a lot of the
Barnum was wrong. There's not one born every minute.
No.
There's probably 1,000 born every minute.
Every half a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like some of these people that are pushing, that is pushing this product. And they talk about, so my problem is not with the folks that are selling this, it's with the product itself. This is not, I don't care what anybody tells you, this is not for the average guy. Unless you're the average guy who's out there that also buys Iraqi dinars. You work too hard for your money to be spending that kind of money on a gram that no one really knows, you know, truly where it comes from. Do you
and no
really
one really
believe-
knows what it is. No one really knows what it is. When the time comes, people are buying these little grams. And they're betting the day is going to come when you're going to be able to hold up a little shiny chunk of metal that weighs about a gram, and you're going to be able to trade this with people, and other people are going to look at you like you've lost your mind. What evidence do you have that that little shiny chunk of metal is a gram of gold rather than a gram of gold that's only 50% gold or some other metal entirely? I mean, in terms of just using this in commerce, it's not going to be easily done. The other point, one other point, and there may be a couple more before I get with it.
Well, I want to get to my points.
Well, go ahead.
No, go finish yours.
Well, what I was going to say is one of the problems with this, I don't know what they're selling these grams of gold for right now.
Well, we'll tell you here in a little bit. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I can remember looking a while ago, probably 3 months ago, something like that, and the gram of gold was going for 50% more than the price of gold. There are 28 grams, just a shade
of 28
grams in an ounce.
32.
Well, you're talking troy ounce?
They're troy ounces.
Okay. All right, so there's 32 grams in an ounce. Just divide whatever the price of this, divide whatever the price is. You're buying a gram of gold, divide it by, or multiply by 32, and it'll tell you the price you're paying for gold.
$1,929.
That's right. You could bet, it's just stupid. You could get yourself a high-quality collectible coin.
For less.
Yeah, I understand. And the other thing is this. If you believe you need these grams of gold in order to transact business at some point in the future when the world has fallen apart, and you can't afford to buy 1 ounce gold coins, they're saying, well, this is for the common guy who doesn't have enough money to buy a 1 ounce gold coin.
You buy silver.
Exactly. That's what you do. You buy silver. And you can get yourself an ounce of silver. I don't know. What are they charging for individual grams again, Melody? Do you know?
It was estimated to me about $60.
All right, fine. So you can get yourself $2. You get just, right now, you can get yourself two silver eagles.
Three.
Yeah, you're right. Three. Yeah, three of them. Plus some change. All right? Or you can get this little I mean, it's a silliness.
It's
a wonderful sales device. You can maybe make money if you can get everybody on your downline and you do this multi-level marketing and a bunch of other stuff. And you may be able to, and some people are going to make money off this deal. But it won't be the people that are buying it to have gold. If you're going to get into this deal because it's a multi-level marketing deal, and you could do the same thing selling balloons. Right, we can get you balloons at half price with the multi-level marketing deal, and you get a fat commission on every balloon sold to your downline. All right,
well,
fine.
Let me finish this part, Al. If you purchased 32, if you just decided to do that and you purchased, an ounce worth of the grams, and you sold that back into the market, you're going to get less than spot for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what they promise you, they're going to buy it back from you. Because when it comes down to it, they're going to buy it back at what the market is accepting it. And I called prior to the program to find out what my buyers would pay, and it was below spot. And I don't care if anybody says, well, that's just her buyers. That's baloney. I pay some of the highest prices in the industry when it comes to gold and silver when people are selling it back to me. And this would be below spot. Even your Vicambi bars, I can buy them for $10 over spot. And everybody's, say, oh, well, Vicambi bars, are they're a little bit different and blah, blah, blah. No, they're not. And so, again, you're paying a lot of money for a little gold. And, I mean, we have packages all day long that you can buy a $5 gold eagle piece. You can carry them around in your purse. You don't have to buy big pieces. There's fractional pieces that you can buy. 1/10 of an ounce of gold. You can put a lot of those in your wallet. They come in little flips. We can sell you. We can give you the flips. Put them in your pocket if that's what you want to do. But I'll guarantee you, you're not going to be taking your gold to the flea market and using it. And, people are talking all this crazy
talk. You're
talking
about that you're not going to take your grams of gold.
You're not going to take your grams of gold and go into the flea market and using it like it's a normal process. The idea, the concepts of why you buy gold and silver are becoming so distorted. I was just like, I just threw my hands up to Dan, so I'm ready to quit. There's a bunch of nuts out there. It's you buy gold and silver for these particular reasons to purchase, to preserve your purchasing power. You can buy small pieces in order to use if you need to sell in case of extreme emergencies, or silver. That's what silver is all about. You will always want to sell your gold and silver into the market first if you can. If you care about getting as much money as you want for it. If you don't care, then I don't care who you sell it to.
Let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying that if the day comes when you need to use your gold or silver in order to purchase groceries, for example, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying you're not going to go to the grocery store with an ounce of gold or even a silver dollar. First, you're going to try to sell the gold or silver on the market and then take the cash to the grocery store.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. You want to get the current rate of exchange. Mm-hmm. That is where you will get the most for your gold and silver. Yeah. That's really not the reason we buy gold and silver. We buy gold and silver to preserve your purchasing power. So when the time comes, you're still going to sell your gold, a large portion of it, and reinvest it in the opportunities that will open up to us because we've been smart enough mm-hmm. to save and protect and get out of those worthless dollars. Yeah. That is why you buy gold and silver. You have an option, gold and silver. It should be you buy what's suitable for you. And it doesn't matter what your budget is. I mean, certainly you don't want to put money into the market. And I've heard people say, well, if you don't have $3,000, you shouldn't get into gold and silver. I disagree. Gold and silver is a great savings account.
Yep.
It's better than cash. But you don't want to take your cash and put it into gold if you're going to need it in a month or two. That you don't want to do. You don't want to gamble gold going up or silver going up in a month or two, thinking that you can make a few extra bucks and so forth, and then you have to sell it. I know emergencies happen, unexpected emergency happens. We can't plan for that. But you don't want to put money into the market that you might need in the very near future. You do want to keep that in cash. But you buy to protect your purchasing power. You do get some small pieces, some fractional pieces. So if you do need just a little bit, you can sell it into the market first. 90% silver in those extreme emergencies where you might trade. That's what you're going to use that for. And you're going to want to have something that's highly recognizable and acceptable. And that is not the grams, that is not the Vicambi bars. I don't care how convenient you might think it is. It's not the gold chains that you wear in your wrist and you break off the links. It is not that. You want something that's recognizable and acceptable, and you don't stray. You know, if you want a little novelty or something, no big deal. Because that's what a lot of these pitches are for these products. They're novelties. They're cute. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to protect my purchasing power on something that's cute, you know? So be smart about it. It's just frustrating. I hear all these things of what you're going to be doing with your gold and silver, and you see all these copper coins. I see all these copper medallions that are popping up. Oh, yeah, well, go try and use that if you, you know. It's like a lot of this out doesn't make sense. And I'm probably rambling, but it just frustrates me so, because people are being they misunderstand. They don't, and when people are confused, they get confused. They don't do anything.
It's
and that's
not
the
just
worst
confusion.
Thing they can do.
They are looking for simple answers sometimes.
Gold and silver is very simple. It's everybody else out there who is creating all these situations and all these, you know, stories and analogies and everything else. They're the ones that are confusing the market. It's very simple. Gold and silver is very simple. We have a dollar that's declining in value, and as long as we're on a fiat currency, that is going to happen. Your dollar is going to continue to lose more and more and more. Take a look at your CDs. What are they paying you for them? it's not going to be long before we have negative interest rates. Or, yeah, so you put your money in the bank, you get your statement back in a quarter or two quarters, and guess what? You're going to have less because you're paying them so you can keep your money in their bank. That's where we're headed. That's not going to change. That's simple. It's very simple to understand. You buy gold and silver to protect yourself against the declining dollar.
That's fundamental reason for it.
Fundamental reasons,
right?
And you
stay with it. It's not about having a shiny chunk of metal. It's because the paper dollar, the digital dollar, has to go down in value. It has to happen. It is government policy to cause inflation. They've stepped back from that policy for the last 18 months or so. All right, and we've seen the dollar increase in value. But they can't sustain that, in my opinion, because when they make the dollar worth more and the dollar increases in value, it makes the size of the national debt go up. They don't want the dollar more valuable. They're doing it, all right, contrary to their own best interests. But long term, they want the dollar to go down and down and down. And there's evidence to support that. That's not just a little opinion. You can look back and see that the dollar in relationship to gold, for example, has lost about 96% of its value over the course of the last 40-odd years. This didn't happen by accident. This isn't some mystery no one understands. It's happened by intent. Government wants inflation. They hate deflation. They cannot survive deflation, although they're fooling around with it to some degree right now. But it has to change, because if they don't, the debt is going to collapse. They can't pay the debt off with more expensive dollars. And that's a reality for anyone who borrows in this country. Anyone who's ever taken out a mortgage, you go to the bank, get a mortgage. Somebody's going to say, well, I'll take the mortgage out, and you'll be able to pay it off in cheaper dollars. Meaning they anticipate inflation. It is a fundamental reality because that's what government wants. Couple percent minimum per year. And it just adds up and adds up and adds up until the dollar disappears. We're down to where dollar's worth less than a nickel compared to what it was back in 1975 or thereabouts. Huh? You know, this isn't going to end. We're in a temporary aberration right now, but what I'm trying to get across, the important point is that this is government policy. It's not happening by accident. We didn't see all this inflation over the last 40 years by accident. This is what government wants, so it can pay off its debt. Government, the biggest debtor in the world, wants to pay off its debt with cheaper dollars. We're going to see more of it in the near future. And if we don't, the dollar is going to die from deflation.
And I think the confusing part, Al, is the world that we see, the world that we talk about, and what our clients and listeners hear on the radio, what we talk about on the radio and the programs, it does become a little confusing, because it's like, man, you know, why, you know, all this is happening, but yet everything sort of stays the same. And that is the illusion that they've created.
And you're talking about that there's the gold, the price of gold does not
from the price of gold,
in the
you
world.
Know, we talk about inflation, but yet all the numbers come out and say, oh, mm-hmm. It's below 2%. I mean, they're all conflicting stories. You know, we talk about one, we talk about the truth, then you hear the misinformation, the lies that come out of Washington and out of Wall Street and around the world, and people do get a mixed picture of things.
I agree.
And it is
it's
difficult.
Confusing time.
It is confusing.
No one says that this is going to be easy or obvious, right? We try to understand this. We don't just try to explain it to other people. We do this program, and we try ourselves to understand what's happening, and we try to present to the listeners plausible explanations for what's going on, but we are clearly in times that are unstable and unpredictable. No one in this audience, I'd be amazed if anyone in this audience was willing to bet that economic circumstances as we view them today, measure them any way you want, will be the same a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Everybody knows something's going to happen. Nobody necessarily knows when, nobody exactly knows what, but everybody knows there's going to be significant change. One of the things you do, if you see that kind of change coming, you have to try to protect yourself as best you can. And one of the ways is to listen to the commercials They're going to start in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here we've got...
Hey, before you go on, we did get some emails coming in, and we got a couple in from Murray. He says, if the average American is going to ask, what the heck is a gram? And that came in while we were talking about grams. We also had, when we were talking...
And the point being, if you go to the flea market and say, hi, I've got a gram of gold, they're going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
That's a gram. And is that gold? Anyway, we had we got a comment in from Bob. It's about when we were talking about the educations and the Gen Xers. He wrote in. He said some of the unemployed are white males, 60 and older, with college degrees that were at the middle and lower management levels. Just try to get a comparable job in small Midwestern town. The cost to re-educate and relocate at this age is prohibitive. Live off savings until one can begin collecting Social Security, and thanks to Obamacare, enjoy some cheaper priced health care coverage. It is easy to criticize until one is in this boat that has many leaks.
I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not a question of being critical of anyone exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of recognizing that we are in a boat that has many leaks. And those of you who have sense enough to pick up on that, and if you have the resources, you need to fix your boat or get a new boat. You've got to do something because this thing's going to sink. The only thing, we can't tell you when. But everybody, you know, who doesn't think that's going to happen? You just can't. If you're listening to this program, I'd be astonished if there's anyone listening to this program who doesn't basically agree with what we are saying and what we are anticipating. All right, if you don't listen to this program, this isn't the kind of program for you, all right, you may be ignorant of these kinds of subjects, but those of you who listen to these programs, you already know. You know what's happening with the dollar, and you know what's happening with the economy to greater or lesser degree. You might not have perfect knowledge. None of us do. But you have an idea of what's going on. It's people who don't listen to programs like this. They're going to be completely amazed and astonished. And they're not going to be happy. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, this is a difficult and dangerous situation. So we'll watch and see. It's, you know, you do the best. You try to do the best you can to take care of yourself and your family and whatever you can. But if you're going to just dawdle along with the herd.
I would get this sixth sense of enjoyment. But I love talking to real estate agents and tell them about the rate and how it's going to start creeping up and the real estate market's going to fall down. And they look at me with the same look as I used to get prior to 2008. They look at me in the same manner. It's like, oh, man, this lady's whacked. You know?
Yep.
But, yeah, you want to get that look, talk to a real estate agent and just, you know, just casually mention about, you know, maybe, you know, the real estate market isn't as well as whatever they lead us to believe. And once those rates start rising, you'll get the greatest look. We had one more comment in from Murray when we were talking about earlier about consuming. He says, we're no longer citizens anymore. We're consumers and taxpayers. We are no longer a nation. We're in an economy. So be a patriot and shop till it hurts. So,
well, that's what it's going to be.
That's what they did after 9/11.
Like, and you're going to drop. You keep shopping, you're going to drop. You know, one of the wonderful things, one of the good things about gold, it's really one of the best save.
I say that all the time. Al? I lost you there for about 2 minutes. I was just checking.
You lost me for 2 minutes?
Well, for a while.
Okay. Well, in any case, all I was trying to say is that gold is a spectacular savings account, a spectacular device for savings, because you can put your money in the bank, you can put it into 401ks, you can put it wherever you want to put it, but there's always a way getting it out. And we don't really mind spending the cash. We don't mind spending the digital dollars. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You get yourself a couple of gold coins, and you're going to say, I'm not spending that unless something really important happens. It makes, there's something about gold that makes you more responsible. You are more frugal. You are more prudent. You are more sensible. You're not going to go out and urinate your money away on some silliness. There's times you got to spend. There's times you got to cash in a gold coin. I get that. Or more. But by and large, you start saving, you put your savings into gold, and you will keep them. All right? You're not going to part with them unless you absolutely have to.
I got a question in from Yvonne. It says, according to anti-war website, which is a really a good website, antiwar.com, Hezbollah launched its first ever drone strikes today against several Western Syrian bases belonging to Al-Qaeda faction, killing 23 fighters. The strikes targeted bases near the Lebanese border town of Arsal, which has been contested by Nusra, ISIS, and other Syrian Islamic factions off and on in recent months. The strikes were reportedly followed by a ground offensive in which Hezbollah captured several additional fighters. The question, should USA attack ISIS in Syria? Will this mix of pro and against Assad create an explosive mixture?
Well, when you ask, should we do any of these things? I mean, from whose system of values? In my opinion, if we had any brains, we would just get out. Let the Muslims behead each other until there's nobody left. All right? And stay out. It's never going to stabilize. And that's a, if you're sensible from my perspective, just walk away from it. Stay out of it. Now, of course, we're not going to be sensible, but we have to wonder then, what is the government doing? Is it just so stupid that it can't see what's happening, or is government intentionally supplying arms and funds and military training to ISIS? They were in the beginning. I don't know that they still are, but they were helping ISIS when ISIS was in Syria. They were helping them. Now they're bombing. They're still, in theory, cheering for ISIS in Syria to overthrow Assad while they're bombing ISIS in Iraq that are trying to overthrow our Shiite puppet government in Iraq. So when you say, should we do that, according to whose standards, you know, from whose perspective, I think the government, when you see that they are funding the Shiites in Iraq, funding ISIS, at least they were, that laid the foundation for the attack on the Shiites in Iraq, funding them in Syria, I don't think the government's that stupid. I think they are intentionally funding both sides and encouraging them to fight and chop off each other's heads. I think they want chaos in the Middle East. So, should we do things? Well, I guess it depends. If we want chaos in the Middle East, there's some things I guess we should do. And if we don't want chaos in the Middle East, those are the things we shouldn't do. But, you know, Yvonne, you're going to have to give me a better idea what values, according to whose values, should we or shouldn't we do whatever.
Well, let's talk about the values of the Postal Service.
Yeah, this is interesting. There's a new House Resolution 5445 entitled the Postal Jobs Protection Act of 2014. So far as I know, this hasn't been passed, but it has been proposed. And the gist of the bill consists of the following. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, no mail processing facility operating as of September 1st, 2014 may be closed or consolidated prior to December 31st, 2015. All right, what they're saying is Congress wants to pass a law to ensure that no U.S. Postal Service center can be shut down through the end of 2015. Now, why is this interesting? Why is it even important? Well, the answer is because in its most recent quarter, the U.S. Postal Service lost a massive $1.9 billion in the last quarter. That's far worse than the $700 million loss they lost during the same quarter of last year. More. So far this fiscal year, the United States Postal Service has lost over $4 billion. More. The post office has exhausted its $15 billion line of credit. So they have almost no liquidity left to finance their operations. They're not profitable, and they have no capacity left to borrow more money in order to plug the shortfall. Incidentally, according to the U.S. Postal Service's own financial statements, its net worth, that is to say its assets minus its liabilities, is a negative $44 billion. You understand? So, and here's this is information that was ultimately supplied, that was originally supplied by ZeroHedge.com. And he says, let's compare the two-day shipping rates among major carriers in the United States for a simple envelope package. If you send it by FedEx, it'll cost you two-day shipping. FedEx will charge you $25.12. If you send it by UPS, they'll charge you $24.16. If you send it by the U.S. Postal Service, they'll charge you $5.05 if you order online. All right? The Postal Service is charging for a two-day envelope. They're charging a fifth of what it would cost you at FedEx and UPS. Now, you can sit back and say, this is a heck of a deal. And it is. Postal Service is offering a tremendous deal. But they have to be losing money. And he points out that FedEx and UPS are profitable, earning $3.3 billion and $6.7 billion in pre-tax income, respectively. And the federal government is, but the post office is going down the pipe. He says Postal Service knows what to do. They're at the end of the rope. And if they're going to survive, they need to raise revenue and cut costs dramatically. Raising revenue means the price of stamps has to go up. Price of mail has to go up, and not 5 or 10%. It probably has to go up dramatically. And in order to cut costs, they're going to have to shut down some post offices, but Congress wants to pass a law that says they can't. They can't cut costs. So where they are now is, well, they're not going to be able to, if the bill is passed by Congress, remains to be seen. But if the bill is passed, they won't be able to lay off employees for over a year. They won't be able to close down unprofitable processing centers. But Congress doesn't want any of that, so they're drafting legislation to ensure the post office keeps operating at a loss. This is yet another example of incredibly dangerous central planning. We aren't going to deal with reality. The reality is that the post office cannot continue to operate as it currently exists. It can't continue to provide the benefits, the service that it's provided in the past. It can't continue to maintain all the post offices open that it has in the past. It's got to cut costs, and it's got to raise prices, or it's going to cease to exist. I don't know. What do you think, Melody? Think the post office is in jeopardy of folding up completely? I don't see that on the immediate horizon.
Well, I think Congress, needs to stay out of it, because it's Congress who passed the legislation that makes the U.S. Post Office pay for 75 years in advance their pension.
Yeah.
They were profitable until Congress passed that. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, let's go to the registered and insured mail that I use. They keep going up, and I'll guarantee you they probably cost more than what FedEx and UPS might be, but yet they're also more secure. UPS and FedEx can't do what the U.S. Postal Service does when it comes to registered and insured U.S. mail. So they do have a purpose, but Congress, stay out of it, because they're the ones that are screwing it up, because the Postal Service was profitable.
Government gets in until government starts meddling.
Until Congress passed this. So, you know, they have to make these huge pension plans for nobody. And the thing of it is, nobody really understands why. But you also have to remember the USPS pensions, they're also a government obligation. So where does that fall if the bank post office fails or anything like that? Guess what? It comes back on to taxpayers. So
yeah, but what makes anybody think the taxpayers are going to be able to afford it?
And it just goes to show this nation is bankrupt, and it's just another sign of the times.
Yep.
And Congress, stay out of it.
The emperor
That's what they should be changing. They should change that they don't have to pay 75 years in advance their pensions.
I understand that. Does Congress pay 75 years in advance? And if they do they keep it, or do they put it into the general fund? You know, the whole thing is just nuts.
Well, when you think
about
it.
It's nuts, and it's part of the reason why we tell you folks, get some gold, get some silver. You are going to need it. All right? I can't tell you when, but you are going to need it, because the world is nuts, and your government is among the craziest lunatics in the whole asylum right now. Protect yourself. Get some gold. Get some silver. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Alfred Adask. Here with Melody Cedarstrom. We're out of time. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad. Money, money, always sunny.